Good morning, church. Welcome to the 11 a.m. service. I want to honor the mothers again. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. The expecting mother, the mother of teenagers, mother of grown-up children, you are the best. You know you are the best. You're special. Because God loves us so much. In fact, Ned has already shared my message. And I believe God has given you a child, especially for you. For He knows you are the best mother for that child or children, right? Okay, so friends, if you are sitting next to a mother or a lady, go ahead and pet. Tell them you are special. Okay, all of you know me. I'm Sue. I'm a mother of three grown-up children and a grandmother of four cutest and loveliest grandchildren around. I'm going to prove to you by showing you their photos. Okay, the first one. Okay, this is my granddaughter. We picked her up at the airport 3 weeks ago when the family came and celebrate Easter with us. By her expression, now you know I am her favorite grandmother. Next, my three grandsons. They're so lovely. With them around, I do not need to go to the gym. They are my best workout. And the next photo, this is my 11-year-old, one of them. Just now you saw the photo. He was working on his craft. And later, his craft became the masterpiece, an inspiration, a Picasso inspiration for the 4 months old. You know, these are the photos that really made my day. When I saw them loving one another, and when I was with them, it's the happiest moment. And they are my delight. My delight. I'm going to ask you, friends, what are your delights? What make you happy? What sparked joy in you? So today, I'm going to talk about that. You know, there's a saying talking about men's greatest aim or men's end is to enjoy God and to glorify Him. I was being asked as well, how do you glorify God? How? I was thinking, you know, if you appropriate God's word, you agree with it, it's glorifying God. You live a life that is pleasing unto Him, it's glorifying God. You do great deeds, definitely glorifying God. But just be yourself. Believing in Him is also glorifying God. But there's this great speaker, a pastor, a remarkable pastor, from the Baptist Church in the U.S., John Piper. He said this. Let's take a look. He said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Today, we want to learn from the life of one of the characters in the Bible and see how she was satisfied in the Lord, that her life become glorified, that she glorified God in her life. Okay, so I want to entitle my message today as The Greatest Delight. You are in for a good time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. Such a wonderful day, beautiful day. Father, we want to thank you for the goodness, the riches that you endow to the mothers here today. For you know them. They're special in you. So Father, we thank you once again. Anoint my lips, even as I share the word, that we can learn and glean from it and to be the doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray, we give thanks. Amen, amen. Okay, my anchor verse for today is Psalm 37, verse 4, the Passion Translation. This is the latest translation, by the way. If you want to be a lover of God, this is the translation that you should do. You should read. It says here, make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and He will provide for you what you desire the most. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure. Okay? So we are going to take a look at Hannah's life. There are four areas of her life that we want to take a look. Okay, now these are the four areas. Number one, her prayer. Hannah was famous for her prayer. Her identity, her surrender, and lastly, her praise. Okay, Hannah actually means, anyone want to guess? Hannah means favor. grace. I believe her parents must be Christian, know the Lord, meaning to give such a name to her because they probably knew that he may need such a grace later in her life. Okay? Now, so Hannah's life was actually written in 1 Samuel 1 to 2. Okay? Now, Hannah was married to Elkanah, who has two wives. Hannah is the one, is the first one, and then followed by Peninnah. Okay, by the way, polygamy is not endorsed by God. Okay, having one wife is more than enough. Huh? Two, you'll go crazy. And you are going to see that soon. And Peninnah had children, and Hannah got none. And because the Lord has closed Hannah's womb. Now, in ancient Israel, without a children is a stigma. You are being despised. People will start gossip and talk about probably there's a curse in you or things that you have done. They have no place in the ancient Israel. So you know the position that Hannah was in. And but the husband, Elkanah, loved her. The Bible says that. And we knew from the Bible that he faithfully worshiped God and sacrificed every year to the Lord and bringing the family along. And he will encourage Hannah when Hannah was downcast. In fact, he would tell her, "Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Why you want children for? I'm enough for you." This is the husband that every wife looks for. He loves her. More so that, you know, he gave Hannah a double portion of the meat every time when he went for the sacrifice. And that was the beginning of problem. The rival, when Peninnah saw that, what will she do? In fact, she will kept provoking her just to irritate her. And this went on year after year. So you can imagine the position of Hannah. Okay? We will continue the story. So how did Hannah actually face the situation? She did not indulge in self-pity. Okay? Hannah was childless, but she was not prayerless. Hannah talked to God. Hannah asked God to remember her. And in the ancient time, in the Old Testament, when the Lord remembered his people, he acted. He acted based on his promise. So obviously, Hannah knew her God. And what did she do? She prayed. Okay, let's take a look. She prayed a powerful prayer. 1 Samuel 1:10 to 2. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look to your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all of the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used to his head." So Hannah made a vow to God. And that prayer is very powerful because it is not self-seeking. Because Hannah knew her position. She was in that misery. She knows she was a child of God. So she just wanted to honor God with her desire and say, "God, this is my desire. And I'm going to give it back to you, this son, to serve you." It is such a powerful and prayer. Don't you think so? Yeah. And not only powerful, her prayer was purposeful. Because she was very specific. A son. And I'm going to give it back to you. And then her prayer is also persevering. Because we know it is year after year. Year after year, Peninnah has been provoking her. So we do not know how long she prayed. We do not know. But we do know that through years of praying and prayerfully waiting on the Lord, Hannah has experienced God. And experienced God's power. And so she can peacefully persevere. Church and friends, I believe you have made prayers like Hannah's concerning your children, finance, education, future, children's spouse. And many a times we prayed, but we do not hear prayer. Now, in moments like that, what do we do? Hannah prayerfully depending on God. And that's where she drew strength. We can learn like that too. We can stood on the words of God. We can stand on the character and the attributes of God, knowing that God is faithful. He never leave us nor forsake us. He loves us. So we can stand on that and prayerfully also draw strength from God. And I remember a time, a young mother, having three children then, also scratching my head, don't know what to do with my children. I had an elderly sister in my church. She was very prayerful, and she talked to me. She said, I saw you in my vision, Sue. So you were praying near your bed. I'm going to tell you that your prayers are heard by the Lord. Isn't that encouraging? And that is exactly what God do to us. He remembers. He may not be answering according to our purposes or time, but it will be according to His purposes. He will answer. And that is the Lord that we can trust on, that we can continue to pour our burden to Him. Okay, so do we learn from Hannah, lesson number one, that the greatest delight is to draw near to God in prayer. It is in His prayer, whether answered or not answered, that we experience God. That we come face to face with God. That we sense His presence, His promises, and even His power. Okay, let's go on. So Hannah endured the sorrow of childlessness in the culture where motherhood defined a woman's identity and significance. It was sad. So Hannah's identity was barren, full stop. She was despised. No stature, no worth in that society. But just now I said, she did not fall into self-pity. She knew she was a child of the King, of the Most High God. And that God is her father. She knew it. So it is based on that stance she made her plea to God. And not only that, she knows that her God is a covenantal God who cares not only for nation, for kings, but He cares for individual like Hannah. He is a personal God. So we learn about our identity in Christ. You see, identity in Christ is a big issue. Rejection is a big issue. Self-rejection, self-hatred is even a greater issue because it's preventing us from reaching the potential that God wants for us, that God has prepared for us. I'm going to tell you a story about Kenneth Hagin. You know, this is a big man of God. He passed away, I think, early 2000. He had a big ministry. And even in his 80s, he was strong, healthy. He would run around the church, the platform of the church, for those who know him. And he got a great memory, even at that age. He can remember events to the day, to the date, and to the time. But he was sharing this. He said there was a time in his 50s, he started to forget things. Now listen to this. He actually read a medical journal that said that in a day, millions of our brain cells died in a day. Without him knowing it, he actually received it. Oh gosh, these are big. And he started to forget things. And then he came to the Lord. And then the Lord reminded him and said that you read a medical journal and you believed. So he quickly repented and asked the Lord what to do. And God showed him. God said, my word, read my word. My word said that you have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ will not forget. Say amen to that. Amen. The mind of Christ do not forget. And church, the Bible said that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Do you believe it? Yes, amen. You know, the latest medical research shows that our mind actually do not age. This is my favorite topic now. It does not age, church. It mature. Isn't that exciting? It is exciting for golden age people like us. Because Alzheimer's is going to be far from me. Yeah? Amen. And you know what this mind can do? You know what this mind can do? God created us an amazing mind. He gave us a big mind. Now, let's see how big it is. Our brain can perform 400 billion actions per second. You do not know, in this second, it has already done that. And 2,000 of which you actually are conscious. Actually. And then nerve. You know, to give an example, for an SPM student, if you want to pass a subject, one subject, you need only one nerve. One. And do you know how many nerves you have? We have 100 billion nerves. This is your mind, your brain, to pass the exam. So don't say you cannot pass. You only need 7 nerves or for that 7 subjects or 9 subjects for 9 nerves. And how about the storage space of our mind, of our brain? You want to give it a guess? The storage space in the brain is for 3 million years. And how many percent you use your brain? According to this 3 million years of capacity here now. We live the most maybe, 100 years. And this one can last 3 million years, can hold the data for 3 million years. How many percent do you use? 0.001%. Our entire life, we do not use more than 6%. Praise God for the amazing brain we have. You know, brain is a faculty where your mind is. Your mind, your emotion, and your will. And medical study is saying that not only it won't age, the brain can grow. This is revelational, okay? And change to be better if you use it correctly. You can grow. We always believe that we have a fix of DNA. My mother is like that, I am like that. My father, he's like that, so I am like that. Don't blame me. But no, medical study is saying that you can grow your brain cells. This is a study of epigenetic. You can grow. So if you input in good things, what better thing than the Word of God? It's going to change you. The right thinking pattern is say can remodel our DNA. It will make you more efficient. Your brain is designed to be more and more brilliant as you are. And as you use it more, you are going to be more intelligent. And if you are more intelligent, you are going to live longer. That is what the medical study says. And you know who said that 2,000 years ago? Jesus, God said that. Where did God say it? God says that in Proverbs 23:7, as a man think, so is he. So what do you think, church? Who do you think you are? We have to start thinking about what we think about, isn't it? The Lord tells us to meditate his word day and night so that you won't depart from it. And the word of the Lord says that you are in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Are you going to put in that thought so that you live like it? It is important. And the mind of Christ is not old, is not slow, is not forgetful. Now, the Holy Spirit within us confirms and affirms that we are a child of God. We are His holy nation. Royal priesthood. We are His best workmanship, created to do His work. We are the head, we are not the tail. He has a good plan for us. Many promises. Are you going to stand on the work, the word of the Lord, and know who you are in Christ? It is crucial, but Hannah did. Hannah stood as a child of God, the daughter of the Most High God and King. And from there, she made her plea. And so what do we learn from her? We learn that the greatest delight is knowing who you are in Christ and live it, confess it. Amen. We move on. So in verse 18, after Hannah's prayer, her face no longer downcast. Look, she knows who she is. She surrendered to God. So we are going to talk about her surrender. In fact, there is peace and joy in her face because she has a direct contact with God now. Hannah was completely satisfied and have the delight of God when she surrendered. And come verse 20, the highlight. The Lord remembered her and gave her a son. Wow. She named her Samuel. Samuel means name of God. It means heard of God. It means asked of God. So the Lord heard, the Lord gave. And Hannah weaned Samuel at about the age of 3. And do you think she surrendered Samuel to the Lord? You know, it is one thing you promise before you have that something that you so desired. The minute you had it for 3 years, you nurse him, you are with him day and night, you have bonded with him, built a relationship with him, do you think will you still be willingly give him up? Hannah did. You know, Hannah put her hope. He kept her hope in God. In the years of persevering prayer and lovingly depending on God, he learned to have that in-depth relationship with God. He knows who God is. He is willing to surrender and let God take care of Samuel for him. You know, mothers, we have sons. Sometimes, you know, we surrender to God. Sometimes they go overseas study. Sometimes we have to. And I can know that feeling. I have 3 children. There was a time my husband was working in Bangkok 4 years. The first year, he was there. I was still not there because my son is at home. I have to be with my son until my husband gave me an ultimatum. You want your husband or you want your son? We know. We know the feelings of mother. When I go holidays, I want all my 3 children to go with me. Even how small they are, I had to have them. This is mothers. My husband only want me. You come. Children, a mother's heart. Okay, so we talk about surrender. We talk about Hannah experienced the depth of God's presence, love, and sacrifice. And she was able to sacrifice. This process of waiting helped her to gain strength, courage, and she was able to yield. And likewise for us, it is in the depth of our struggle, church, our trial, we see God. It is in the waiting that our inner strength was developed. And it is in our stillness that we hear His voice. And it is only in this stillness, in this rest, that we are able to truly surrender and yield ourselves to God to allow Him to perfect us. You see, God wants a perfect bride. So, sufferings is true. Pain is true. Agony is true. But all of this, God can make beauty out of ashes. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Allow Him. Allow Him to do that. Now, have you heard about Marie Kondo? Anybody? Those who have messy home, surely you heard about her. Marie Kondo is now a very popular, sought-after celebrity in the U.S. She's a Japanese, famous in organizing things. Things in your home. Your wardrobe, your kitchen, your books, files, paper, everywhere. He has a way to help you. And she has actually her own TV series, you know. You can go Marie Kondo and then go and take a look. And her favorite motto is spark joy. When she approached you, she will ask you to lay all the clothing, a whole stack of it from all the wardrobe. And she said, you take look at it. Does this clothing spark joy in you? Are you happy with this clothing? If it is, keep it. If it doesn't, throw. I personally believe, I was preparing the message, Marie Kondo come to mind, you know. I believe she knows. She knows the principle behind the decluttering. We have to declutter here so that God can put in. If you want God to perfect us, the mess has to go. And that is Marie Kondo's principle. And Hannah knew it, okay? So Hannah yielded to the Lord and surrendered Samuel to him. So this is number three, the third lesson that we learn. The greatest delight is wholly surrender and yield to God to allow him to perfect us. So if you are suffering right now, if you are still waiting, when you see no end, wait. God is faithful. He is going to make that beauty out of ashes from us. Okay, so the last part is on Hannah's praise. This is found in 1 Samuel 2, chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. But I'm going to show you the first two verses here. It says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies. For I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. It is such a beautiful song. It is a person who has fully surrendered to the Lord and knowing that actually true blessing is the Lord himself. And she can sing such a song. You see, this is how she praised the Lord. She praised the Lord for who he is. She said, God is her horn that gives strength. God is a deliverer. God is a faithful savior. And God is a redeemer for all of us. Hannah actually had very little to talk about herself. If you look through the entire chapter, the entire song. Also very little to talk about the blessing. She talked about the Lord in her prayer. A person who has been fully decluttered and filled with God will talk like that. This is a woman after God's own heart. She now knows true blessing is having God himself and to put him first. All of us who love God will enjoy his presence, his provision, his promise, and reward. We started with the verse that talk about if put God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, God will add the rest unto you. You see, the truth is, whatever desire that we have, worldly, fleshly, or whatever that we want, may be good for the children, for the family, whatever desire that we have in our heart, when we put God as the utmost at the end of it, and if we truly put him as the utmost, we will know that the whatever desire that we have will faint, will dim. When we have the blessings of all blessing, which is the source of blessing, who is God himself. So the verse in Psalm 37 is a very interesting verse. When you have God in you, God give. I hope you grab the truth in this. God is the one, is the true blessing of all. So this leads us to the last lesson that we learn. The greatest delight is making God first in all our life. And we can see that Hannah found delight in God in the areas of her prayer, in the area of identity, surrender, and lastly, prayer, which she has found the best, who is God himself. When we have God, we have everything. And Hannah knew it. The true blessing is having God. and having an intimate relationship with him. Now, towards the end of Hannah's song, Hannah concluded with the song of a glorious prophecy. This prophecy was talking about the coming of Jesus, whom we know already come, who has already redeemed us and is sanctifying us so that we can have a full life, enjoy him, and live out that life to impact nations. But this this Jesus, in the book of Songs of Songs, Song of Solomon, is actually calling us as his beloved. Beloved. Let's take a look at the verse. In Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3, he said, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. This is from us to him, the Solomite. But likewise, the Lord is calling us beloved. You know, he longed, this God of ours longed to have a relationship with his future wife, which is us. And the book of Song of Solomon is actually like a melody from the heart of Jesus to his future wife. You see, Jesus wants to make us holy through the sanctification process by casting out whatever fear that is in us, so as we can know him, to know of his perfect love. Because he said in his word, his perfect love casts out all fear. He wants to actually intoxicate us with his saving love, his keeping love, his sacrificial love, and his embracing love. If we read the book of Song of Song, we know that he is all out after us. And he's all out for that longing wife for him. He longed to have that relationship with us. And our life journey is like a divine romance with him. As God is calling us, number one, as his wife individually, he's asking, will you receive me? Receive his suffering love as he has suffered for us so that we can really be filled to overflowing until we can exude the aroma of that beauty of him. Can we? And secondly, as a church, which is a community of brides, all of you brides, all of us, will we receive Jesus fully? He has poured his life on the cross. Will we receive him fully so that our life itself will be an impact to communities, to nations? But he had to start it individually as a single future bride for him. So will we do that? I am going to end with this same verse in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3, but from a Passion Translation. I'm praying that all of us can echo this particular verse and say it to the lovers of our soul. Let's read it together. Songs of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. He is within me. I am his garden of delight. I have him fully, and how he fully has me. Amen. I pray that you are blessed with this message. I pray that all of us will be that future bride longing for this bridegroom. As he come, as he call, that we will respond in this manner. Enjoy your Mother's Day. Thank you.